All right. After a false start, I am going to trust in the gods of podcasting to take me to where I need to be. Because I started off this podcast and it's like, man, I just don't have the energy for this. And I reconsidered. I think maybe I do have the energy for this. You already know from the title why we're here. So I bought the book American Pilgrim by Roosh. And I got to tell you, this is the most engaging book I have read since I read Pushing Rubber Downhill from our good friend Adam Piggott. The other day, so I've hit the point where I have to give myself permission to play Star Wars, because I would just play Star Wars all day long if I could get away with it, which I can't, but I would, and of course you can't get away, so that would lead to bad things, right? It's like doing drugs all the time or drinking all the time or whatever. It's like any other addiction, because that's what it is. It's an addiction. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know how to fuel the dopamine. They know how to manipulate people. It's a computer game. They know what's up. Anyhow. Night before last. Speaking of alcohol, I have a glass of red wine with me here. Night before last, I'd given myself permission after I got everything done, which I got shit done. I've had a couple of very productive days here. I'd given myself permission to play Star Wars. And when I got everything done, it was time to play Star Wars, I actually opted, instead of playing Star Wars, to sit down by the fireplace with a fire, built a fire, and sat down by the fireplace and read Roosh's book. Now, in case you're wondering, yes, there's a whole lot of Jesus and God in here. And yes, I'm still an atheist. And I know right now all the Christians in the audience are fucking masturbating furiously with the excitement that, oh my God, the Great One is reading Roosh's book and he's going to become a Christian like us. No, you guys are still fucking retarded. And in fact, because, you know, here's the thing. I've spent so many years making fun of libtards. I've kind of neglected right-wingers, and I've especially neglected Christians just because, you know, I'm not an atheist on YouTube who puts bananas up my ass and can't shut up about God, because there's only so much you can talk about. God doesn't exist, right? I mean, how much material can you get out of that? It's like a zooby boof boof. A zooby boof boof doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a zooby boof boof. I mean, how much material can I get talking about how there's no such thing as a zooby boof boof? Right? It's fucking retarded. And that's why I hate most atheists, because most atheists are people who can't shut up about God. So no, I'm not becoming a Christian just because I'm reading Roosh's book, okay? I lost my train of thought for a second there. You Christians are still fucking retards. And in fact, because here lately I've been exposed to more Christian thought than I normally am, I'm remembering just how fucking retarded you actually are. And we may or may not delve into the retardation level of Christians in today's podcast. We will be delving into it in the future. Because, here's the problem. Because I attack libtards and just openly, and because I just don't give a fuck anymore, because I have completely lost virtually all interest in saving society or helping other people or giving a shit about other people or being nice to other people, you know, because I just openly now call it the Wuhan hoax with people I've never met before and just openly use the word libtards. You know, people assume that I must be a conservative. And once they assume you're a conservative, they assume you must also be a Christian, right? Because this is the conflict duality that is a big problem in our fucking culture. And yes, there are some places where there actually is a binary. Boys and girls, for example. Statist, anarchist, right? Either you need a state, or there's either a state or there isn't a state. There's either an entity that has monopoly on the use of violence, or there is not. Right? There's either an elephant in your backyard, or there's not. Those things are all binary. I know a lot of you out there, as you know, because you're smart. When I say a lot of you out there, I don't necessarily mean my listeners. I'm talking about the idiots. This is in case some low intelligence person listens to this podcast. You know who you are. You're the one who's already been offended 17 times. The low intelligence people can't comprehend this because they want everything to be on a fucking spectrum, the same way they're on a spectrum of retardation and gender and all this other horse shit. And so just because I rip on libtards openly and freely, there's this assumption that I must be a fucking conservative or a Christian. And I'm trying to come up with a good word for like conservative. Right? Cuck and conservative, cuckservative. It just rolls off the tongue. It's such a great word, cuckservative. You know, cuck Christian, it's kind of starts and there's cuckstian or Catholics. You can like cucklets or see. I haven't come up with a really good word yet for Christians that integrates the word cuck into it, but you're all a bunch of goddamn cucks. Right. I mean, you can whine all you want about fucking Satan and the libtards. Guys, this is all 100% your fault. You're the ones who can't control your women. Right. All of this stuff. Well, see, now I'm getting way ahead of myself. This is, Rush talks about this in the book. But all this stuff is because you can't control your women. All of this, like the gay pride shit, all this faggot and tranny shit, all of this is designed to be sold to white heterosexual women. Right? All of this shit that you look around you and you as a Catholic or a Christian, I should say, get everybody in there. All the things that you Christians, you look around you and you see all this stuff in society and you say that it's degenerate and all this other horse shit. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to agree with you that it's degenerate. But all of this stuff like gay pride marches, BLM, all of this is designed for and sold to young white women. And why are the young white women buying it? Well, because you Christians don't have the fucking balls to control your fucking women. And the stupid people in our society, so they make this assumption, because the great one insults libtards all the time, he must be a cuckservative or a Christian or something like that. And of course, if I say something about the cuckservatives or the Christians, any libtard in earshot will assume, well, he must be a libtard, like me, because he's insulting Catholics. And I just want to throw this concept out to you guys, and this is going to be... this is going to be a little bit of a leap for some of you. I just want you to meditate on this a little bit. You often heard the great ones say that, well, you know, maybe this person is lazy and maybe this person is stupid. Or maybe there's a third possibility. Maybe the person is lazy and stupid. See, here's the thing. There's this assumption in our society. Well, you can hate faggots. Or... you can hate Christians. But guys, there is a third path. Let me tell you about the third path. The third path is the path that I walk. It's the path upon which you hate faggots and Christians. And it's not that hard to do. Because why are the faggots running wild? Because the Christians have no fucking ball sacks. Now, on a related note, I wish I knew the page. So, I picked up because I was ordering stuff from Amazon and the .com, because when you don't have a steady income because of the virus hoax, that's what you do, is you go to Amazon.com and you spend money that you don't have. But I had to buy some stuff. I had to. I was like a woman. I had to do this. I couldn't control. I was like a fat woman at a restaurant. I couldn't control my body. You know how that food like leapt off the plate and shoved itself down that woman's throat, like the face hugger in Alien? See, so these books forced me to buy them on Amazon.com. These books forced me to go to Amazon.com, sign in, look the books up, put them in my shopping cart, and then hit the purchase button. Okay, so this is totally not my fault, okay? I was oppressed by the patriarchy. The patriarchy made me purchase American Pilgrim by Roosh, whose last name I'm still not sure how to pronounce correctly, which is why I just say Roosh, and that way I don't embarrass myself by fucking up his name. I also bought The Way of Monkey by Turd Flinging Monkey. I've glanced at it. It's just, you know, I've opened it up to a few random pages and read stuff. It's pretty fucking brilliant. I expected no less from TFM. I purchased, this is by some fucking, I don't know, some loser guy. All I know is he's short. It's called The Book of Numbers, Analyzing the ROI on the Pursuit of Women by somebody named Erin Clary. E-R-I-N-C-L-R-Y. Erin Clary. And then I picked up The Satanic Scriptures by Peter H. Gilmore, who is, I don't know if he's the current high priest of the Church of Satan, but, you know, we've talked about Satanism a lot lately. And I thought, well, let me, you know, I've read the LaVey book over and over and over. Let me pick up the more recent writings. Let me see where the place, what's, oh my God. Okay, here we go. None of this has anything to do with Roosh. So I just opened the book up as I was holding it. Now, this is, let me flip over here for a second. Let me get this. This was written in 2007. So I just flipped it open, and the chapter is entitled Founding Family, Morality versus Same-Sex Marriage. Okay, now remember, I've read none of this. So I look over a couple of pages. Here we go. Allowing same-sex marriages does not mean that Christians and others who oppose such a practice will be forced into such unions. They may find it distasteful, but then when a nation encourages the individual pursuit of happiness, there is no guarantee that everyone is going to like what everyone else is doing. That is part of freedom, the tolerance of diversity. Okay, and this is why all of you idiots, and I include this guy in an idiot, officially, as an idiot, officially starting right now. Because what it does mean is that if you own a bakery, you will be forced to bake a cake for homosexuals who are getting married. There is no freedom. There's no freedom. The post such a plan does not mean that others who oppose such a practice will be forced into such unions. No, but they will be forced into supporting them. They will be forced. Like, which part of fucking force, which part of the state do you fucking idiots not understand? But anyhow, I opened the book to another randomly page. To another random page? Sorry, I'm reading and talking at the same time, which is a really bad idea. Okay, here's his closing paragraph. Over time, the resolution of this issue will serve as a barometer for gauging the tenor of a nation's basic character. It will reveal whether a government can be truly pluralistic, offering equal freedom to its diverse citizens, or if it will instead allow its people to be shackled by antiquated values fostered by religious dogma. Okay, so if I go to equal freedom. How is forcing somebody to bake a cake for someone they don't want to bake a cake for? See, that's the argument that has to be made. How is that freedom? This is what all of the fucking retards miss. All right, anyhow, so I opened this book to a random page, which I wish I would have made note of what page it was so I could read it to you. Because I'm doing this, I'm going to flip through just in case I spot it. He has this sentence in there about, he goes off about The Handmaid's Tale, which that's a fucking clat that, see, and here's the thing. Okay, Peter Gilmore can claim he's not a leftist, but you know what tells me you're a leftist? When I open your book to two random pages, okay? And the two things on those pages, one of them is The Handmaid's Tale, which all leftist and all feminist are obsessed with, because again, women have this bizarre fantasy and obsession, and none of this has anything to do with Rusha's book. Women have this bizarre fantasy and obsession that men want them to be pregnant, right? Every woman wants to think that her DNA is so precious and pure and desirable that men want to impregnate her and reproduce with her. And that's why The Handmaid's Tale is this fantasy that women cream their panties over, because they think their uterus is so amazing that there's all these men out there who are desperate for them to get pregnant. And in fact, speaking as a man, okay, if I were dictator of the United States, first of all, any woman over 150 pounds would have 6 months to lose the weight. And after that, if she still weighed over 150 pounds, she would be euthanized. And no, that's not a joke. Secondly, any woman that was not physically attractive, or I'm going to be dead honest with you, isn't white, would be sterilized. And that's not a joke. If I were the dictator of the United States and I could do whatever I wanted, that's what I'd do. Okay, so you fucking women out there with this fantasy about how men want you to be pregnant, no, we want you to shut up. We want you to shut the fuck up. We do not want you to spit out children with your broken ass DNA. And then I open another page and we got homosexual marriage. When these are your concerns, when this is the shit, okay, but anyway, back to The Handmaid's Tale. So in that sentence, he says something about The Handmaid's Tale. And then he says something, as I say, wait, I wish I had marked the page so I could read it to you. He says, if we're going to have a fascist government in the United States, the only place it could possibly come from is the political right. And I'm looking at thinking, okay, man, you know, this is the beauty of writing a book, is that I can read this book 13 years later and see how incredibly stupid and wrong you are. We live in a fascist society and it's run by leftists. Okay, we don't live in a society where women are being forced to get pregnant and have children. We live in a society where women are being told that they're men, and men are being told that they're women, and children are being given hormone blockers to destroy the natural development of their bodies. Okay, that's not Christians and right-wingers doing that, you fucking moron. You, Peter Gilmore, are a fucking embarrassment to the Church of Satan. A fucking embarrassment. We live in a fucking fascist society, and it is run by leftists. So after all that ranting, how about, hey, let's talk about Rusha's book. God damn. All right, this is a really good book. I think Rusha is a very good writer, and as I was reading this book, I figured out why I like Rusha's stuff. I think Rusha is very perceptive. He sees things and he makes connections. While I don't necessarily agree with all of his connections, he makes connections. And I mean, the man, and this is not just my opinion, I mean, the man banged however many women. Although, as I'm reading the book, I started thinking about it. You know, I wonder how many of those women were actually attractive as opposed to just, you know, two tits, a hole, and a heartbeat. Because as I've said before, I have banged very few women. I've banged fewer women than Adam Piggott. I've banged fewer women than Aaron Cleary. I've banged fewer women than Roosh. I've banged fewer women than Rollo. I've banged fewer women than any man whose name you know, okay? But the one thing I can say is every goddamn one of them was a six or better. None of them were ugly, and that's a fucking fact. And yes, it's somewhat subjective. So yes, subjective, that's the right word. Yeah, it's somewhat subjective. But none of them were ugly, thank God. I mean, when you've banged as many women as Roosh has, they can't all have been sixes or better, right? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm theorizing here. Rush is very, so where I was going with that, I had a point to that. You can't bang that many women without being perceptive and being able to make connections, right? Because to get in a woman's pants, you got to be perceptive. You got to be perceptive and observant of her state and what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You got to interpret the feedback. You got to respond to it. You got to put things together. You got to do it fast on the fly, also, blah, 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 right? So the man obviously has a quick mind and a perceptive perceptions. Slightly redundant, but hey, it's the best I can do at the moment. And he's a good writer. And this book, I think, is proof of it. This is a really readable book. All right, especially after there's another book that I just finished reading. I could go off on a tangent about that. I don't want to. It was really painful. Women are mind-blowingly stupid. They're stupider than I even thought they were. Because no, mental illnesses are not superpowers. They're not. Women, and once again, though, men refuse to control them. Men just refuse to control their women. All right, here we go. I'm going to read some passages. We're going to talk. Blah, blah, blah. I left the museum after a two-hour tour and stopped for lunch in Farmingham, a Boston suburb. It didn't take long to notice numerative, that's a new word I made up. Roosh writes better than that. It didn't take long to notice numerous attractive young women. A university must be nearby. A place where American parents send their daughters to wear yoga pants every day and learn how to perform various carnal acts while under the influence of alcohol. Now, I challenge you to come up with a better description of what college is than a place where parents send their daughters to wear yoga pants every day and learn how to perform various carnal acts while under the influence of alcohol. I challenge you to come up with a better description of college than that one right there. The 2.5-mile ride from Mark's house to a parking garage in the city center took 50 minutes. And now look at the time. We had less than an hour to sightsee before my first event dinner. I got to see a pleasant garden with a pond, several Protestant churches with gay pride flags and Black Lives Matter paraphernalia, the mammoth Boston Public Library with 5 gay pride flags, and the John Hancock Tower with his signature colored to the gay rainbow. If Hancock had known that his signature would be used to promote sodomy, he would not have signed the Declaration of Independence, or at least signed it with his other hand to make it less aesthetically pleasing to the social engineers of the future. You know, here's a thought that I had, not a thought as in a college girl wearing yoga pants. Not that I'm opposed to having those thoughts. I mean, they don't respect their bodies. Why should I respect their bodies? Here's a thought that I had while reading this book. What is a flag? Well, a flag is a symbol of a nation. Now, I don't know the exact history of flags. Could be wrong about this, but here's my theory, here's my thesis, here's what I suspect. Probably, there's a bunch of people, they're sitting around, they're doing whatever the fuck they were doing. They had their little village, you know, back in the days of actual anarcho-capitalism when there was no government going around forcing people to bake cakes for faggots and stuff. I know some of you think that the government, that humans can't exist without government, which means, of course, that government must have preceded humans. I've yet to have anyone explain to me how the fuck that can happen. But then again, you're a bunch of statist fucking retards. So back before there were governments, there's probably no flags. Because people had, like, you know, shit to do. They were doing things. They were busy. And when they weren't, you know, they were either busy working to grow food or build a house, or they were busy having fun and enjoying their lives. They didn't really sit around, oh, we should make a flag. Why? I don't know. We should just have a piece of cloth stuck on a pole. Why? So where did flags come from? Somebody can look this up. Go fucking Google this. Some one of you losers out there. I'm not going to do it. Or am I going to do it? There's a computer. I could. Fuck it. I'm not going to do it. Because it doesn't matter what's on Google. I'm talking about what probably really happened, which has nothing to do with what's on Google or the internet. Because on the internet, there's a pandemic right now. There's millions and millions of people dying in the streets from this deadly pandemic, the Wuhan. In reality, there's no such thing. All right. So the first time that two groups of people got into a sufficiently large conflict that they decided they were going to have to go to war with each other, they were going to get together, they were going to beat the living shit out of each other to decide who is right and who is wrong, or to decide who was the winner and who was the loser, which, I mean, that's true. Warfare doesn't decide who's right and who's wrong, but warfare most certainly does decide who's the winner and the loser. Okay, this is where we could go off on a tangent here into philosophy, because I've talked about this before. People say, well, great one. Do you think that might makes right? Well, no, might doesn't make right as in moral, ethical, right and wrong, but might does make reality. Okay? Hitler gassed 6 million Jews. Is it right or wrong? Well, it's right. We all know that, but we have to pretend that it's wrong. Otherwise, you know, with all this freedom that we have here in the United States of, you know, the faggot marriage and the trannies indoctrinating your kids and injecting hormone blockers in them, with all this freedom, if you say that, well, yeah, maybe the Jews deserved it, you'll go to jail or you'll lose your job or both or other things. Might, however, does make reality. Assuming that the concentration camps were real and assuming that 6 million Jews really were gassed and it's not just an elaborate hoax, you know, right or wrong, those 6 million Jews are dead. Right? So if you're standing here and I take a baseball bat and I hit you in the face with the baseball bat and I break your nose, did the fact that I used might, did that make me morally right? Well, I mean, we're assuming that you're not a Jew. Then no, it didn't. But the reality is you have a broken nose. Right? So might does make reality. So anyhow, so you had these two groups and they had a sufficient enough dispute that they decided they're going to go out and they were going to beat the shit out of each other to see who was the winner and who was the loser. And the winner would get the girl, like in all the fucking stupid rom-coms. And knowing that it was going to get chaotic out there, what they did was they took some sticks and they put a piece of cloth on the top of the stick and they had somebody holding that and waving it around so that the red team and the green team would know where their teams were at, right? The red guys had a red piece of cloth on a stick and the green guys had a green piece of cloth on a stick. And that is probably where the very first flag came from. It is a symbol. It is a, not a symbol. It is a sign, it is an indicator in warfare used to designate hostiles from friendlies. It is a designator used in combat to designate hostiles from friendlies. To designate the two or more sides in a conflict. The fact that the faggots have their own flag tells us they are not on our side, they are not part of our nation, and they are our enemies. Their flag, like every other flag, is a battle banner. We are in a war. And even you fucking, you Christians will sit around talking, hey, we're in a war. It's a war. It's a war. And I'm sure we'll get to this later. And then you got two options, right? It's a war. Okay. You can fight the war, or you can sit at home and do nothing and say that it's all part of God's plan. And next fucking person I hear talk about God's plan, I'm going to punch him in the fucking face. Because I'm baffled by, on one hand, you fucking Christians have got, well, God works in mysterious ways, which I would agree with. If there is a God, I've said this before, if there is a God, okay? God's mental processes, God's intellect, God's understanding is as far beyond human understanding as human understanding is beyond that of an amoeba. There is no fucking way in hell, if God does exist, that humans can comprehend or understand anything from God's point of comprehension or understanding. It's not possible, okay? We are not biologically, neurologically, neurochemically capable of it. It can't be done. God is too fucking far beyond us. We can't do it. So when someone said, well, God works in mysterious ways, yes, because God is beyond our understanding. And then this same cocksucker will tell me that something is part of God's plan. Like, oh, really? Did you download God's plan from his website on the internet? I mean, did he just happen to drop a copy of his plan off at your house? Tell me, how exactly do you have this fucking firsthand knowledge of God's plan? Would you like to fucking share that? Honest to God, I'm not sure how I got to God's plan from where I was. We are doing, oh yeah, the war. So yeah, it's, well, we can't do anything about the faggots taking over our society. We can't do anything about the trannies and the at the library reading stories to the children. We can't do anything about the gay pride flags and the gay pride parades, because that's God's plan. And God works in mysterious ways. And I can't question God's doings because God is mysterious and beyond me. But the faggots is part of God's plan. And I know that. Guys, once again, how do you know God doesn't expect you to kill them? I'm telling you, you're going to go to heaven and God is going to say, I gave you all this stuff and you squandered it. Why did you let homosexuals take over your society and let your daughters be impregnated by foreigners? Why did you do that? And you're going to go, well, I thought it was your plan, God. And God's going to say, do I look like a fucking pussy to you? I mean, you guys are fucking retarded. This, it's God's plan. That's like your excuse. It's like the global warming wackos, right? This has nothing to do with Rusha's book. It's like the fucking global warming wackos. If this year is hotter than last year, it's because of global warming. If this year is colder than last year, it's because of global warming. If the temperature this year is exactly the same as last year, it's because of global warming. If there's more hurricanes, global warming. If there's fewer hurricanes, global warming. If there's the exact same number of hurricanes, global warming, right? So if faggots take over your church, what's God's plan? If your daughter gets impregnated by a Somali, that's God's plan. Everything is God's plan. That's your fucking out. You just say, whatever happens to you, get raped up the ass, it's God's plan. If I punch you in the face and then smack you in the head with a baseball bat, what's God's plan? Right? If some fucking faggots expect you to bake them a cake and you say no and the government forces you to do it and forces you to attend diversity sensitivity training classes and then forces you to pay a fine to the faggots and then fly a faggot flag outside your business establishment, well, that's God's plan. You're just going to bend over and take it up the ass because you Christians are the biggest fucking pussies on earth. And what's really hilarious is how many of you think that the libtards are attacking you because they're scared of you. No, they're not attacking you because they're scared of you. They're attacking you because they know that you're weak. They know there's nothing you can do about it. They know that you're going to sit right there when the libtards come and attack you. You're going to get up off your fucking couch. You're going to drop your pants. You're going to turn around. You're going to bend over and you're going to spread your butt cheeks. That's what you're going to do because it's God's plan. If all of you would just collectively pick up some guns and start shooting people, once again, I'd be right there with you. But no, because see, that's not God's plan. God's plan does not include you doing anything proactive to save your civilization or your religion from destruction. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to allow everything that your ancestors created in celebration of Western civilization and Christianity and learning and everything, for all of that to be destroyed. That's God's plan. That's the best plan God could come up with. Because, you know, he's really fucking stupid, apparently. Well, but great one, you don't understand. I have to suffer. My soul has to go through trials to prove I'm worthy of God. Yes, because the only way God could figure out to test your soul was to destroy civilization. Yes, see, all of this is about you. My, don't you sound exactly like a woman. This is all about you, isn't it? All right. There's a lot more where that came from. Don't you little fucking Christians worry. There's a whole lot more where that came from. All right. A problem common to all three. Wait, three what? All right, I should go back. I got to read the whole paragraph so it makes some sense. Okay, he's in a restaurant. He met up with some of the people that had bought tickets to meet with him. The three men were at different stages of their lives. One had just been red-pilled and was learning game. The second was deep into red pill and was extracting sex from random women. And the third was stalled at the bottom of the hill, thinking the journey would be easier than it had been. A problem common to all three was that they lacked a male role model who understood their problems. No one could offer them guidance. Much of the world is hostile to their masculine needs and chooses to forsake them to justify perceived historical wrongs. A psychologist educated in the same system that pathologizes masculinity can offer no aid. Parents, unaware that the world has changed since the 1960s, can serve up only useless platitudes. Hollywood, the universities, and the media hate their guts. So all they have left is me and a handful of dissidents and dubious gurus on the internet. While I don't see myself as a role model and should be looked upon more as a warning, who else understands what these men are going through? Who else sympathizes with them? If John Hancock were alive, maybe he'd sympathize with him, but even he was forced from the grave into the cult of homosexuality. In some cases, a three-line email reply I write to a man is all the guidance he will get from the world. And Rush is right about that, and once again, I point to you fucking Christians and ask you, I mean, where are you on providing any kind of masculine guidance? We know. For a fact, this is not an opinion, it's a fact, we know for a fact that you Christians can't control your women, your daughters, your wives, your sister. You can't. You have no control over your women at all because you have no testosterone. So how much guidance can you possibly be providing for your sons? If I look right now into the eyes of a 40-year-old Christian, I see nothing but a giant fucking pussy. And then to find out this 40-year-old Christian, you know, has like an 8-year-old son. It's like, my God, what kind of pussy is he going to grow up to be? New Bedford was once a textile boomtown, but those jobs were long gone. Walking through the downtown, take two. Walking through the downtown, I saw many by the way, I'm going to read the passages and then go back in commentary. So whenever I start a new passage, we've jumped ahead. So when you sit there and you go, great one, that has nothing to do with what you just read. That is correct. just a note on how the format of this is working. New Bedford was once a textile boomtown, but those jobs were long gone. Walking through the downtown, I saw many disheveled individuals with blank stares on their faces. Just 3 years prior, the New Bedford City Council declared an opiate state of emergency because so many residents were overdosing. I walked by City Hall and saw a gay pride flag flying high. I figured that homosexual rights were the least of their concerns when people were dying on the streets from drug use, but putting up a flag to virtue signal is easy. Solving real problems is hard. The more absurd the concerns of a city, such as the banning of plastic straws, the more serious its problems. I mean, he's dead right about that. One of the reasons why I got to get the fuck out of Fort Collins is we're hitting that point where we're getting into absurdity, right? We have regulations, or what do you call it? Ordinances. It's not a regulation. It's not a law. It's an ordinance. Okay. We have ordinances, for example, about the opacity of smoke that comes out of the chimney from your fireplace. And of course, we have the muzzle laws here, which even if the state of Colorado, which I don't think is going to happen because of our homosexual Jewish governor, even if the state of Colorado got rid of the muzzle mandate, the city of Fort Collins is going to have a muzzle mandate forever because the virtue... And you know, here's another thing. Let's tangent for just a second. Because when all this started, you may remember, I said I wasn't sure how it's going to go because are the muzzles and the distancing and all this shit, is it going to go away because women want to go to their parties and their dance clubs and their events and they want the attention? Or will it stay because women get attention a different way? And we've seen, at least here in Colorado, which way it's going. It's going, the muzzles are going to stay because women get attention. The women have already turned the muzzle into a fashion statement. And here's another way you can tell the muzzles aren't going away, is that the muzzles have already been co-opted for advertising. The number of people I see walking around with muzzles that are advertising a corporation or their virtue signaling, you know, the BLM muzzles, the gay pride muzzles. Like, the muzzle has become a fashion statement slash virtue signaling opportunity. And women are not going to turn that down. As here in the lefty ass Fort Collins, it's never going away. All right, anyway, it has nothing to do with Rusha's book. Other than Rusha is correct when he says that, yeah, when you look at the more fucked up a city is, the more problems a city has, the more they're going to focus on stupid shit. Once again, like here in Fort Collins, where they have these signs hanging from the lamppost about diversity, with some message about diversity written in all these foreign languages. Like 27 languages or some shit. I mean, this is what you're spending tax money on, right? Supposedly there's a pandemic. There's millions of people dying in the streets, but we got money for this. To judge the health of a city, I mean, this bit right here is brilliant because once again, this is also Fort Collins. This next bit is brilliant. And I'm going to use this when I start venturing out to figure out where the fuck I'm going to move to when I get the hell out of here. I'm going to use this. To judge the health of a city, I had learned to pop into its central public library. If the library is clean, especially the bathrooms, with families, students, and adults furthering their education under one space, it's safe to assume the city is healthy. A wide cross-section of the community should be present, as was the case in Concord, Massachusetts. If the library is visibly dirty and countless homeless people loitering around, fouling up the bathroom, the city is not healthy. This was the case in New Haven. While washing my hands in the bathroom, I witnessed a homeless man come out of a stall after defecating and rinse without using soap. He tightly gripped the door handle to exit. I used my right pinky finger to open bathroom doors, But even then, that was too risky in New Haven. Once again, Fort Collins, public library, Central Public Library before the Wuhan hoax. I don't know where all the homeless people shit and bathe now, but before the Wuhan hoax, the Old Town Public Library was essentially a homeless shelter. Okay, so here Roosh is talking about he was at his meetup and there was a woman there in a low-cut dress and blah, blah, blah. Here's what he says. Okay, here we're going to have to... Christians, prepare yourselves for an ass-chewing. Just, I'm warning you now, just brace your tiny little fragile egos. Remember, hey Christians, remember, this ass-chewing you're getting from me, this is all part of God's plan, right? This is what I really love, is how many Christians will fucking bounce back at me for criticizing your religion, but not one of you will fucking say a goddamn word to a single faggot out there. Not one of you will go up to a business with a gay pride sticker in the window and say a fucking word to the owner. But you'll come whining to me as if I give a shit. And why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because you perceive me as being weaker than you are. And I probably am. And the leftists perceive you as being weaker than them. Which you are. So save all your fucking rage and your fucking feels and all this shit for somebody who isn't me, because I don't give a fuck. All right, this is what he writes. I couldn't believe that I was this weak and had to take such measures to not accidentally have sex with a woman. Roosh had to take measures as a Christian to not accidentally have sex with a woman. Now, where have we heard this before? Who is it? What group of people is it that do things accidentally? I'll give you a hint. They accidentally get pregnant. See, they accidentally trip while going down the stairs and accidentally land on a man's cock and then accidentally go up and down on the cock until it ejaculates. And then they accidentally didn't take their pill that day. They accidentally don't take the Plan B pill. And then they accidentally don't get an abortion, even though abortion isn't murder and it's her body, her choice, and it's your body and your choice. And that's why you better put on the fucking muzzle and get that vaccine, because it's your body, her choice. Yes, my friends, women, and there'll be further evidence to support this farther on, but here's what I've discovered about Christians. Christians are women. Let me say that again for those of you who are Christians and might be a little bit slow. Christians are functionally equivalent to women. Okay? Saying it's God's plan is the same thing as when women say, well, I was just listening to my vagina. Right? Women just do whatever they feel like doing in the moment, and then they give these other names to their feelings. Christians do the same fucking thing. They do whatever they feel like, which is usually being a pussy, and then they just say, well, it was God's plan. So here we've got Roosh saying he's got to take all these steps to not accidentally have sex with a woman. Now, I would like any man, please send me an email, guys. Explain to me how a man can accidentally have sex with a woman. Okay, you could accidentally run your car into a fire hydrant, right? Because you're not paying attention. You could accidentally cut your foot while chopping wood. How do you this is a real question. Explain to me how you accidentally have sex with a woman. Explain to me how you accidentally talk to a woman, maneuver the woman to a place where the two of you are alone or semi-alone, accidentally take your pants down, accidentally get an erection, accidentally get access to her vagina, accidentally put your dick inside of her pussy. Explain to me that process, because inquiring minds want to know. Is this part of God's plan? And if it's part of God's plan, it's not accidental, is it? See, it's just your feelings. You Christians are exactly like women. It's whatever you feel like in the moment. And then you just justify, well, it's God's plan. And this is why you can't control your women. Because women can't control women. Women can't control each other. Women are herd animals. You Christians behave exactly like women. Women are herd animals. That's why your women are running all over you. That's why your women go to college, wear yoga pants every day, get drunk, and have sex with multiple men. I should throw that in. I'm not opposed to women having sex, especially not with me. They say, great one, do these rules apply to you? No, absolutely no. I don't give a, I'll fuck your sluts all day long. But I'm not the one who's running around talking about Jesus and God's plan. I stayed overnight in Hamden, a suburb not far from New Haven. While New Haven was full of derelicts, Hamden was pleasant. The library was full of children, young adults, and seniors, all coexisting in one clean space, with not one homeless person present. I must therefore conclude that Hamden is healthy, and yet beside me in the library was a man having a loud conversation about how he hated Donald Trump. It's easy to complain about the big bad conservative president when you live in a safe and clean city that is predominantly white, with only a small presence of third world immigrants whom Trump has half-heartedly tried to stop. I highly doubt the man goes to the public library in New Haven, because if he did, he would not find a clean place to sit and enjoy his book without being bombarded with sour odors from the homeless men watching action movies on their smartphones. Maybe he wouldn't hate Donald Trump then. So again, this is an absolutely valid observation. And once again, it's Fort Collins. People here in Fort Collins, mostly white. Very few third world immigrants. People here love to vocalize very loudly, very publicly about how much they hate Donald Trump. And I mean, Roosh is completely right. Yes, it's easy to hate Donald Trump when you live in a city filled with white people that has virtually a non-existent crime rate. It's real easy to stick a BLM sign in your fucking yard when, you know, 3% of the population of your town is black. Okay, so in this sequence, hold on, I got to back up a little bit to give you guys some context. So he met a group of people in the park because they're talking, they're doing their things. They go into a bar, blah, blah, blah. So they're talking about theology. They're talking about God, ego death, subverting your will to a higher power, blah, blah, blah. Through prayer, I ask God what his will for me is. Okay. And then this is Roosh. No, wait. God damn it. Hang on. I got to make sure I know what I'm talking about here. Boy, there's a... Since when have I ever known what I'm talking about? I want to make sure I get who's saying this right. One man, yes, several years. Okay, so he's talking to a guy who has gone through... He found God many years ago. Okay, so this is what this other person who found God many years ago is saying to Roosh. Roosh is not saying this. That's what I wanted to make sure I was clear on. This is the quote. and his will for you fits within his planned. Planned. Whew, take two. And his will for you fits within his plan. He knows exactly how this story will end, and so it must end in that way. Everything that is happening now, all this gay pride and degeneracy, this globalization, it has to happen for his end to be achieved. Unquote. Now see, this is what I'm talking about. This is a real fucking question for you Christians out there who are fucking retards, which is all of you, because you're Christians. You can't be a Christian and not be a retard. This is a real question for you. How do you know that the faggot degeneracy taking over the world is God's plan? Explain that to me. I don't want to hear about triangles. Only one person out there knows what that means. I'll get to you. I will get to you. You're so stunningly wrong about so many things. Okay, I don't want to hear about triangles. I don't want to hear about Bible. I don't want to hear about... I want you to explain to me, how do you know what God's plan is so that you can do your part? How do you know the degeneracy taking control of the world is God's plan? How do you know God's plan is not for you to get off your lazy fucking ass and fight back? Explain to me how you know the details of God's plan. This is a real question. And the answer is going to be, well, I see the signs in the world. Right, that's called feelings. That's women. That's what women do. Why did you buy those shoes? Well, they were on sale. I've been looking at them for a week, and today they were on sale. But that's what women do. You Christians are literally women. Well, the faggots came in and took over. It must be God's will. It just happened. No, you were just too much of a pussy to shoot them. That's not God's will. That's you being weak. All right, Roosh went to a gay pride parade to check it out. You know, by the way, reading this book has made me, because I RSS Roosh's YouTube channel, and when he was doing this tour, I mean, this is an account of when he was driving around the United States doing his tour where he went to various cities and spoke right after he converted to Christianity. And so this is the story of this road trip. Or at least that's so far. I'm halfway through the book. Hang on one second. I'm on page 208. And how many pages is this book? It is it's 395 pages long. So I am literally about halfway through. It's the story of his road trip. And while he was doing this road trip, he was posting on his YouTube channel videos that he was taking in all the places where he traveled. And reading this book is making me, because I know I don't have all of them, but I have most of them, or at least half of them, because I RSS his YouTube channel, but I've never actually watched them. So now reading the book, I really want to go and watch all of those videos, because it's like the two of them go together, right? He's making the videos, and then the book is about all the things that happened while the videos were being made. So you watch the videos, and you would see the things that he's referencing in the book, blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, just throwing that out there. All right, here we go. He went to a gay pride parade. Based on the huge presence of heterosexual women, I concluded that all gay propaganda, from the rainbow flag to the empty slogan, "Love is love," is not targeted at gays, but at straight women. It is meant to suck them into a degenerate lifestyle of fornication and intoxication, to develop a hatred for the type of man who is most capable of creating a strong family and resisting the evils of homosexuality. The purpose of gay pride is not only to pat gays on the back, but to destroy female innocence, to bombard them with a lifestyle of sex and drugs, to render them sterile. And it's working, because I was stunned at how many attractive women were cheering with their gay flags and how many women were being pulled down by Satan into hell. And see, this is the point. I'm not a cuckservative and I'm not a Christian, but Roosh is 100% right about that. And once again, who's allowing it to happen? Who's allowing their daughters to go to college and go to gay pride parades? Who's allowing this? That would be you, my cuckservative Christian listeners. Who is it that can't control their women? Well, it's the fathers of all these attractive white women. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, Roosh is completely right about this. The whole point of gay pride doesn't have anything to do with faggots. It is 100%. He says the purpose of gay pride is not only to pat gays on the back. You know what? I don't think it has anything to do with homosexuality at all. I think it is 100% the next part of his sentence. It's to destroy female innocence, to bombard them with a lifestyle of sex and drugs, and to render them sterile. That's the fucking point, is to render specifically white women sterile. Or best case scenario, better case scenario, to get them to breed with non-whites. Now, oh my God, great one, that's racist. And that's why you're getting exterminated. No, once again, the Jews have a fucking ethnostate. No, nobody runs around talking about how racist they are. It's only white people. It's only you Catholic white people that have this weird fucking thing that you've just got to get your daughters knocked up by non-whites. No other race is like this, right? Hispanic. What the fuck are they called this week? Oh yeah, speaks. The speaks. Now, it's not spick. See, spick is a racist term. This is speaks. S-P-I-X. See, because spick, it's like even Latinx doesn't fully represent the diversity of the whatever the fuck they're called community. See, that's why I came up with the word speaks. See, so there's no speaks fathers sitting around going, wow, I sure hope my daughter gets impregnated by a white guy or a black guy or a Chinese guy. And there's no chinks, that's C-H-I-N-X, right, to encompass all the diversity of the different Oriental nations, right? There's no chinks parents sitting around, boy, I sure hope our daughter gets knocked up by a white guy or a black guy. And there's no pox father sitting around going, man, I sure hope my daughter gets knocked up by a white guy. It's only fucking white people. It's only white fathers that are sitting around masturbating to the fantasy of their daughter coming home and saying, Daddy, I'm pregnant. I'm not sure who the father is, but he's either black or Latinx. Right? Only white men are masturbating to that fantasy. I was starting to understand how the oligarchs feed a tailor-made propaganda program to each socioeconomic class. The poor blacks get hip-hop, Nike shoes, junk food, and fashion brands produced in China. The poor whites get opioids, alcohol, and junk food. The middle-class whites get sodomy, casual sex, racism, and equality. The upper middle class whites get hypermaterialism in the form of luxury cars, boats, Ivy League universities, leisure wear, and real estate. Every group is given a program that will render it harmless to the state, both politically and demographically. All right, so Roosh clearly understands statism. The farmer controls crops and animals, while the oligarchs control human beings. A man thinks he is free, perhaps like the sheep grazing in the field thinks it is free, but he is constrained in the cubicle pen and the apartment pen, and is tagged and tracked with a number, a financial score, and a social score, and is fleeced of his labor, money, and faith. I mean, Rusch clearly understands statism. He clearly understands that we are slaves to the government. He clearly understands that we are not free. Too bad the rest of you Christians can't figure this out. Who built the roads? I don't know, man. Hey, guys, maybe it's God's plan that there aren't any roads. You ever thought about that? Oh, that's right. I forgot. You know exactly what God's plan is because you have access to it, because God whispers his plan to you through your vagina. Maybe he whispers it through your butthole. Is that what happens? Do you pussy-ass Christians, is that how you know what God's plan is? Because God whispers it to you through your vagina? This is another, like the college is a place where girls wear to, where parents send their daughters to wear yoga pants and have drunken sex. This sentence right here, this is another just brilliance. This is why I read Rusch's books. This right here. We threw off the yoke of the British and a king who should have been serving under God to become dominated by homosexuals and anti-racism activists who wheel out drag queens to read to our little children. I mean, he's right. We live in a nation that overthrew a country and a king over taxation so that we could become literally dominated. If I had a job, I could be fired right now for insulting faggots and trannies. For calling them faggots and trannies. We as a nation, literally Hitler, rebelled against the strongest power on earth over some taxes to create a nation where degenerate faggots and trannies dominate our society. And if you don't literally worship the trannies and the faggots by flying their flag, their battle banner, outside of your business could be destroyed, your livelihood taken away from you. But it's God's plan, right? That's what it is. It's God's plan. This was, I mean, God, again, you know, this is the best plan God could come up with. A plan where trannies sodomize little children. You know, God really couldn't come up with anything better than that. See, here's, once again, if there is a God, and once, for the, okay, let's just do this very briefly for the truly stupid people and for new people to the podcast. You can't prove that there is a God, but I can't prove there's not a God, because God, that first of all, God is a very nebulous concept. Whose definition of God are we proving or disproving? But secondly, God could be there, but not be any definition of God that we have. There could be a God of some sort. Nobody can fucking prove God's existence. Nobody can disprove God's existence. However, I am going to submit this to you. I am willing to submit that if there is a God, he's not fucking stupid, and he could probably come, and yes, he's a man, he could probably come up with a better fucking plan than allowing children to be sodomized by trannies. I'm pretty fucking sure God is smarter than that. I am. I'm real serious about this. I'm being facetious and funny a little bit, but I am actually fucking serious. I'm pretty goddamn sure if there was a God, God would be a little bit smarter than that. And when you think he isn't, when you think this is part of God's plan, once again, so well, how stupid do you think God is? Well, it's necessary for evil to exist. No, it's necessary for you to get rid of the evil. It's necessary for you to purge the evil. Maybe that, you're stupid. Maybe that's why God put you here. He put the evil there and he put you here so that you could go over there and whoop the shit out of the evil. But instead, you choose to turn around, bend over and spread your butt cheeks and pretend that's what God's plan is, but you don't know what God's plan is. I swear to God who doesn't exist, I hope God exists. So when I die, I go up there and say, God, what's up? He says, yeah, you were right, great one. That was my plan. I put the evil on the world so that my fucking followers would do something about it and earn their way into heaven. I said, how many of them up here? He said, none. Because you're all a bunch of pussies. 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 Yeah, I mean, you'll send me a nasty email. But once again, you won't do a fucking thing about the trannies in your library. Not a fucking word. You won't say a word about that, but you'll send me, oh, great one. You're God's plan. Okay, great. All right. How long are we on time? All right, that's enough of that. There's plenty. Well, let me think. No, there's plenty more to go. There'll be a few more parts in this series. Don't you worry, your pretty little Christian heads. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. It is the great one himself, the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, and there since 1995, I got for 20 years. Blah, blah, blah. God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. And yes, I do have a plan. And yes, there is a section in there for the Juden.